Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Deborah Shipman is a founder of Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women USA, which incorporated just 6 months ago. Born in Oklahoma and an enrolled member of the Chickasaw Nation there, Deborah grew up in Portland and is working here to organize against the violence. The group is just starting up and is looking for a broader base of support. KABU's Lisa Loving spoke with founder Deborah Shipman. Connect with them on Facebook at Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women USA.
Well, the organization is Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women USA, and we actually just became operational in January, but it's kind of been in the making for a number of years from when I lived on the Navajo Reservation.
So what are the issues that you see happening right now that you're trying to draw attention to?
Well, I knew from living down that there were a lot of missing women and murdered women, and I started working with Missing in New Mexico. That's an organization who pushes, you know, to find women, and when there was a Native issue, they would forward them to me. And so after I started seeing, you know, manipulation in the way that New Mexico is documenting these women, at a great number of these things are not even investigated if they happen on federal reservations. And it's chronic. It's like one in three women are going to be battered on a federal reservation. And one in five of those women will be murdered. So that's what we're trying to, you know, draw attention to, is the fact that we need help. You know, it's the United States has no database on these women. And that's one of the things that we're doing right now, is making that database so we'll be able to go to media, be able to push our story like Canadian First Nations did. They're very successful. They have 1,200 women missing. We're going to have upwards of 2,500 just from opening several databases. So Oregon itself has 63 Natives missing. So it's everywhere. Every time we open up a different region, we're finding this one. I thought it was centered mainly in the Southwest, but no. So we're trying to get the information out there so people know that this is real. And I told them when I lived down there, it's not that people don't care. People just don't know.
People definitely don't know. And there's not enough reporters anymore to report on some of these stories. Let me ask you, Deborah, so you just talked a little bit about why you started the organization. Can you talk a little bit about what you hope, once you can educate people in our region about what's going on, do you have more about what you hope people can do?
Well, one thing that we want to do is actually push the FBI and the Bureau of Indian Affairs to actually investigating these crimes. So, you know, enough public outcry, we'll do that, you know. And and then even like in Yakima Nation, one of the things we want to do, they have 39 unsolved murders up there, just right over the border, you know. And I never knew about this until, you know, 2 weeks ago. We want to push the BIA and, you know, like I said, the FBI to take us seriously. This is not right. This shouldn't be happening in America. So...
Deborah,
and
let
I
me.
I didn't know it did.
Let me. I wanted to ask you: are there people or organizations that are supporting this effort?
Well, we're actually have been doing this mainly on our own, and like I'm, you know, there are several places that I'm going to, you know, file grants for things like that, you know. But pretty much what we're finding is nobody wants to talk about this, you know. So it's been hard to find people to back us. Now, Navajo Nation has sent people to us. They consider us legitimate. And while they don't support us financially or anything like that, the Navajo Times, Navajo Nation, they already know that I went to college down there at Dene College, and I mean, they trust us enough to send families to us, you know. And then the Native American communities that are here in Portland, I guess we do have a few backers. That's like the Native Department, you know. I mean, it's like they have organized things to where I could speak next year at the NACC, and I'm talking about Portland State. That's where I go to college at. And the Native American Center, we're actually going to center a whole program around Native, missing Native women here, and that will involve a lot of healing, drumming, and things of that, organized awareness. Like in the, we like to have people have safety training too. I mean, there's a whole lot of, if we address certain issues, it's going to help. And that, although we didn't start that till now, I mean, this summer it's going to be planned, but they have really given me a forum to, get this out here. So, But that's mainly at that one nation. We are developing a good relationship with Nakama Nation after we assisted with finding a young girl just a couple weeks ago. So, you know, hoping, you know, we'll be able to work with them. I think so, because they want these things solved too. And it's just, they've tried so many things, you know, that it's hard to... for them to hold a lot of hope.
Deborah, let me ask you this. What is happening to the young women? What is happening to them? And is it people from within the tribal community, or is it white people that live there? What is your take? If it's okay to ask that, maybe you don't want to answer that, but what's happening to the young women?
Well, it is a hard question to answer because this is within our own community, mainly. Probably only 10% of the women that are murdered or missing, you know, fell into the hands of traffickers or, you know, some other person rather than a Native person. But this is mainly Native-on-Native violence, and I see it from just being trained in sociology that this is generational trauma. This is one of the side effects of that, and we need to heal that so that these things will be healed. And one of the ways is to push, you know, for some accountability, you know, and when people do this, because on federal reservations, nothing gets investigated. So it's, you know, someone off someone, murder someone, and then just dumps them out there, and you know, chances are that they're not even going to look for that person. So, you know, let alone prosecute, you know. But that's it. Why it's rampant. It's, and like the, you know, a lot of people, this is why they don't want to talk about it, because this is coming, you know, from within our own community. But the thing is, if we don't speak up, more people are going to die and or go missing. And so, yeah, it's just like
it's a tough one.
A tough one to talk about. But
let me ask you this. So I followed when I want to say it was 2 or 3 years ago, an Indigenous Female Anonymous collective emerged on Twitter. And they were trying to bring the attention of other anonymous cells or groups or individuals to help them figure out how to pressure police in one particular community in Canada to actually investigate some of these crimes. And what it looked like to me was even the other anonymous groups did not really pick up the cause of the Indigenous Female Anonymous Collective that was from Canada. So can you talk a little bit about how difficult it can be sometimes to build community around the needs and the issues of young women of color and young Indigenous women?
Well, now, could you say that one more time?
Yeah. What are some of the obstacles as you're trying to build community around the young Indigenous women? What are some of the things that's getting in your way?
Well, I think that the biggest, and this goes for Canada too, and just to point out, Canada is light years ahead of where we are here in the United States. They actually are on, you hear it on their TV news at night. It's on there every night. Justin Trudeau has done a lot for Native women up there. And so I'm very hopeful that what they're doing there will happen here. But one of the things, the obstacles, is people are afraid in communities to report this stuff too because of retaliation against them. Most Native communities are rather small, and there's groups, there's main family groups and there's a subgroup, but it's called a clan. You know, you have a lot of stigma related to that. And that's the biggest, obstacle, is the stigma. And also, because this is a depressing subject, a lot of people are not, you know, they can't handle it in their heart to talk about it. And I've just actually been taught this, and in the past few months here, that that's one of the reasons why people do not address this is because of just the sadness that it creates in our hearts, and I understand that, believe me, but it's like we lost so many people in my family from generational trauma that I'm used to death, and that's a sorry thing. But you know, some families, they don't want to hurt anymore. And I think, you know, but the biggest obstacle is stigma, definitely.
Let me ask you this. How can our KBOO community radio listeners support what you're doing? Is there a website, or do you have any events we can go to or anything like that?
We have a Facebook site, and it is actually Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women USA. And we do a lot of informational, plus we would look for people. But what the listeners can do actually is join us there so that they can help give these women a voice. Tell a few people, direct them to the site, and just, you know, I'm sorry, you know, just help us get this out, that this is here, and that people know that it exists, so that we will have more power to change this. 1,000 voices is better than one.
For KBOO News, I'm Lisa Loving.